According to Carolyn McCulley, single women can go to two extremes when it comes to physical beauty.
When we're younger, we have a tendency to invest a lot more in our looks, confident, or at least hoping that this will be something God would use to draw a man's attention to ourselves. And yet I've seen as women get older, there's also this temptation to kind of give up and not really put any effort in at all to be feminine.
It's Thursday, June 16th. And you're listening to Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss. Here's Nancy.
Have you reached the age yet where you've discovered that whatever measure of physical beauty you may have had when you were a young girl is rapidly fleeting? The truth of what Scripture says, that outward beauty is fading? Well, I've reached that age, and some of you have as well, and we want to talk about that today with our guest, Carolyn McCulley, who's written a book called Did I Kiss Marriage Goodbye? Trusting God with a Hope Deferred. And today we want to talk with Carolyn about this whole matter of physical beauty and inner beauty as well. Carolyn, welcome back to Revive Our Hearts.
Thank you.
Carolyn, in your book, you devote a whole chapter to the subject of beauty. You call it deceptive charm. Why is the whole thing of beauty such a deceptive charm?
I think particularly for single women, we can be tempted to bank on our physical beauty as a way of attracting men. And if we see it fading, then we start to think, well, there's no way now. Look at this. You know, look at these crow's feet. Look at that gray hair. Look at those upper arms waddling in the breeze. Whatever it is, we can start to think that that is going to limit God and His purpose and His plan for us in our lives.
And yet we're always in a race against the decay of these physical bodies.
It's true. What Paul had to say was very right. Outwardly, we're wasting away, but I'm banking on that inwardly, we're being renewed day by day.
And that's the kind of beauty we want to talk about here in a few moments. But let's go back to this matter of physical beauty. We've talked about this before on Revive Our Hearts, and this is a subject that really applies to all women, whether married or single. We tend to go, I think, to one of two extremes. Either we become a slave to the mirror, or we come to the place where we say, it doesn't matter at all, and we disdain the idea of doing anything to take care of our bodies physically.
And I think you see that as a trend in single women, too. When we're younger, we have a tendency to invest a lot more in our looks, confident, or at least hoping that this will be something God would use to draw a man's attention to ourselves. And yet I've seen as women get older, there's also this temptation to kind of give up and not really put any effort in at all to be feminine. I'm not talking about being a stunning beauty. I'm just talking about basic femininity, making an effort at hair and makeup and things that men do notice. They notice when we make an effort.
So is the point of the effort to do it for men?
No, but that's often a starting point for women. We filter a lot of our decisions through what men think, and then in some cases also through what other women think. I've heard it said that women often get dressed more for the opinion of other women than what men think.
So someone might say, I'm not a people pleaser. I don't care about pleasing men or pleasing women. So why does it matter what I look like?
Well, obviously, if we are concerned about doing good for our future husbands, if we're concerned about blessing him, there's going to be an effort that we're going to make because it's a reality that men are attracted to women. I've heard it taught to married women that they do need to be mindful of what their husband prefers in their appearance. How he prefers her hair, how he prefers her makeup, etc., because she is to be pleasing him in that way. But there's one whose opinion of our beauty is far more important, and that's the Lord. And his view of our beauty includes the inner beauty, what we're doing to have a quiet and gentle heart before him, and what kind of trust that we've cultivated, because that does radiate out. A woman who is trusting the Lord has a serene countenance. She's not frowning and fretful and just stretched taut with anger and impatience. But she is gracious, and the smile that adorns her face may well give her smile lines in the future. But what's etched into her face is a smile and not a frown.
So what can give a woman that kind of inner beauty?
Well, I think one of the ways is recognizing what Scripture says when it says that our beauty is fleeting. That this word that's used there is hebel, and it means a meaningless chasing of the wind. It just blows through our fingers as soon as we can try to grasp it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not lasting. But we can cultivate what is lasting, and that is that quiet and gentle spirit we were just talking about. And that comes through the practice of submission that we're called to as wives and when we're single and we don't have a husband that we are directly submitted to. But there are ways that we can acknowledge the authority in our lives to support and encourage those. So where appropriate, how are we responding to our pastors and their leadership? How are we responding to our bosses and their leadership? And even as adults, how are we honoring and respecting our parents?
So even as a single woman, we have a need to develop a heart of submission. And that's part of that inner beauty that is attractive to the Lord and to others.
It's true. And I think that's one of the reasons that Sarah is commended to us, because her first name actually meant contentious. But she was renamed later as Sarah, which meant princess, in order to represent the work that the Lord was doing in her life in teaching her trust and dependence on him and his provision and in supporting and encouraging her husband, Abraham.
And what a great illustration that is, because Sarah, as she was moving into her 70s, 80s, and 90s, probably was not becoming more beautiful physically, but her inner person was becoming more beautiful. She was being transformed into a godly woman from contentious to a princess. And that gives a woman like me in her mid-40s a lot of hope, because I'm seeing the gray hairs. I'm seeing the sagging parts of the body and some changes that I'm not real excited about. But I am excited about the potential of the process of God making me more like Jesus, becoming a more radiant and beautiful and gracious woman, even while the outer person is decaying.
Well, Scripture does say that those who look to the Lord, their faces are radiant and they never need to be ashamed.
I love that verse.
And I think that's so important as we get older, that we do look to the Lord. We are not ashamed about our singleness. We're not ashamed about our aging, because that's part of his plan unfolding in our lives. And as we look to him, our trust can just radiate from our countenance, and that is attractive to others. We see this often when we see men. We might say, oh, he's not all that attractive, but when we get to know him and we get to see his character, suddenly his looks are transformed before us, and we think, he is a pretty good-looking guy. And if that happens to us, don't we think that men also are thinking the same way? I think that's why Proverbs says that a woman who's beautiful and lacks discretion is as comical as a pig with a gold ring in its snout, depending on that outer adornment in order to try to cover up all the things that would be indiscreet and unattractive.
Yeah, there's no amount of outer physical beauty that can make up for a woman who's a shrew.
That's true.
Now, while there's nothing wrong inherently with having outward physical beauty, sometimes physical beauty can be used by a woman in sinful ways.
It's true. It's a form of power, wielding power over men. When you are more tempted to elicit a response from them based on physical beauty rather than on character or on serving, if you're tempted to manipulate because you know the effect your appearance would have, these are not godly motivations. They are self-centered motivations. They say, look at me. They're making more of yourself and not making more of God.
So as in everything, the goal in life is to make a lot of God, to be other-centered, to be Christ-centered, and to radiate as women the beauty that comes from a contented heart, from a heart that loves the Lord, a heart that loves others. Now, I've known you long enough, Carolyn, to know that you're sitting here talking about all these things very articulately, but God is in the process of doing a transforming work in you. And we've talked about some of the struggles you've had, because we've both had them, of dealing with unruly passions, unruly tongue, and developing that gentle and quiet spirit. I know it's something you're very intentional about developing, but it's something that doesn't come naturally for either one of us. I think somebody could listen to us talking today and think, well, those women are just naturally gentle, quiet, spirited, meek women. Tell him the truth.
Any of my friends listening to the broadcast wouldn't be thinking that. No, I think that often women are tempted when they read that scripture to think that this is a personality or a temperament issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm naturally more exuberant, or I'm naturally louder. I'm never going to be meek and mousy like such and such woman over there. And I don't think that's what the Lord is addressing. I think he has made his daughters in a variety of personalities and temperament. But you can be a quiet, reserved woman and not be trusting before God. You can have a lot of distrust and keep yourself closed off from other people and not commune with him in prayer. And that happens irrespective of your own natural temperament. A woman who is growing in a gentle and quiet spirit is growing in trusting the Lord. She might survey circumstances she doesn't like at that moment, or she may have questions, but she's ultimately a woman who goes to her knees in prayer and says, Lord, I don't understand this, or this is really tough, or I feel like a plant being forced to grow through concrete, but I know you have a purpose in this, so I'm not going to rail. I'm not going to be angry. I'm not going to complain to everyone in sight. I'm going to try to look for the good, and I'm going to try to speak purposefully about the good things that I see happening.
And what an important principle that is for single women as they get older who have these unfulfilled longings for marriage. You know, there's nothing so unattractive, I think, as a bitter, older, single woman. She's become hard, harsh, cynical, critical, and there's not that inner beauty. And it's not because her physical beauty has dissipated that she's become unattractive. It's because there's something missing in her spirit.
That was one of the first things I noticed when I became a Christian. One of the first women I met was an older woman, now about my age, in her early 40s, and she was quite discontented about being single. And I remember judging her and sort of keeping her at arm's length. I thought, I don't want to be anything like that. If that's what I have to be being single, then just get me married. Now, she's since left the church. I don't know what's happened to her. And time has humbled me. I am now her age, and I am now single, and I better understand her temptations. I'm not excusing them, but I better understand them. And I trust that as God has humbled me and softened me in my judgment of older single women, that he has also been working in her life. And I trust that wherever she is now, that she is flourishing. But there is a tendency when you're younger to look at women who are older and think, there's some kind of contamination there. Just keep me away from them. Just, Lord, just anything but allowing me to become an older single woman. And I believe that people can be tempted to think that way because the uniform witness of older single women isn't always that contentment and trust, but it is bitterness.
How do you want to be known and viewed as an older single woman?
Well, you know, when I was younger, I always wanted to be something like a rollerblade granny, the kind who would get out there and still be fun and current on all the music and know what was happening in culture. And now I think to myself, what I really want to be known as is not necessarily somebody who's plugged into the culture, but as somebody who is really joyful in the Lord's plan unfolding in her life and who blesses that in other people's lives, who's willing to serve others and not hold back because they got something that I didn't get.
That's Carolyn McCulley on embracing singleness as a good gift from God. She's been talking with Nancy Lee DeMoss all this week about her book, Did I Kiss Marriage Goodbye? It helps single women understand how to develop biblical qualities of femininity during every season of life. You can order Did I Kiss Marriage Goodbye when you call us at 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. You can also find out more online by visiting reviveourhearts.com. And while you're there, you can read a transcript of today's program and email it to someone who would enjoy hearing what Carolyn and Nancy had to say. You can also donate online. We can provide biblical counsel to single and married women on the radio and over the web because listeners like you give. Again, the address is reviveourhearts.com. You can also send us a donation to Revive Our Hearts, Box 82500, Lincoln, Nebraska, 68501. Tomorrow, Carolyn will give helpful advice to women who struggle with loneliness. Please be back for Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is a ministry partnership of Life Action Ministries, Back to the Bible, and Family Life Today.